Welcome again to Microsoft Virtual Academy. In this section, we'll talk about under the hood, how we detect sensitive content with DLP in Office 365. We looked at different policies, from credit card policies to Canada Financial Act, to the different sensitive types that we provide out of the box. In this section, we'll talk about how we really find that information. So, Asaf, do you mind walking us through what the process is here?
Sure. So let's take a look at this example on my slide. This kind of orients you a little bit better. So the idea is a lot of folks think about detecting sensitive information as regex or keywords and things like that. So yes, we do that.
Yeah.
That's a starting point. So you can see on the top, first thing we do is we actually get the content. We actually need to break apart, whether it's an email or a document, we're going to break it apart, get the text out of it, parse that, and understand it. Next, we're going to do the regex analysis. So you can see that we've detected in this case on the left, second row down, we're seeing that, hey, we've got a 16-digit number. If that's all we cared about, great, that would be a credit card number.
Well, right.
In reality, if I just look for 16-digit numbers, I might get, you know, false positive. It might be an e-ticket number. It might be an internal part number. So we actually do more than that. And for credit cards specifically, in this example, we actually do some function analysis. So for us, on credit cards specifically, if you look at the standard, there's a function called the LUNS algorithm, which allows you to do a checksum against a 16-digit number and see if it could be a valid credit card number. So in my example on this slide, there are two numbers. The first one does match the checksum, and the second one does not, which means that if you run it through the function, it'll tell you the second one cannot be a credit card number for sure, and the first one might be. Great, so that gives us another layer of confidence. We go down to the fourth level, and we have additional evidence, which is also in our system, where here we're looking for the keywords, and it might be Visa, it might be Amex, it might be MasterCard, or any other keyword that we're looking for that's defined in the sensitive type. This is built into the credit card sensitive type that we provide out of the box. We also look for a regular expression of a date near the number, near the 16-digit number that we found. As we find more and more of these evidences, we increase the confidence that what we've found is actually a credit card. And finally, we have a verdict. So after we look at all this evidence, we make a decision and say, you know what, with 70% confidence, or with 90% confidence, this is a credit card. Or with, it's only 30% confidence, so we're pretty sure it's not a credit card. So we can make that determination. And this is one of those things that a customer can actually tune for their version of the credit card number, the credit card sensitive type, or any other sensitive type in the system. It's a standardized language. It's XML-based, and it's fully documented. So they can either do it themselves, or they can get a third party that will basically be the expert, the consultant.
So in this case, when you were looking at the credit card in the first example, we had a Visa word next to it, and we also had the expiry date. So that was taken into account, and obviously because of that, there was higher confidence that that 16-digit number was a credit card number. I'm assuming that's the same way we look at the detection flow in Exchange when we look at our system design.
Right. So looking into how we built this, the first thing that I talked about in the content analysis was we need to break apart the content and take out the text. Well, the idea is if you look at how Exchange is built, it already has a pipeline where all the way from receiving an SMTP message all the way to delivering it to the store. Along the middle part, in the categorizer, there are a number of agents, there are a number of extraction operations. We can do anti-spam, we can do virus detection. We already extract the text for a variety of other reasons. So the way we built our DLP in Exchange is actually extremely efficient, where we're not having to re-extract the text the second time. We're leveraging what's already there. So this is one of the benefits or the values that you get with the Microsoft DLP solution, where we are already integrated in the box. So the performance of doing DLP is actually very, very efficient, very high here, because we're already doing the text extraction for other needs. We've leveraged that to also run your DLP policies in the same place that we already run transport rules anyways. So we are enriching those predicates and those actions with those DLP predicates and actions as well as the sensitive types.
And we followed the same principle when it came to SharePoint as well, leveraging the FAST index to actually search the sensitive content. We have some screenshot, not a screenshot, but a process flow here that I'm sure our customers would love to hear about.
That's right. So in this case, if you look at the pipeline, instead of having the drawing of a vertical pipeline from SMTP to delivery, you can see that we kind of pulled up only the content processing component of SharePoint. And the idea here is that in SharePoint, we're integrating our DLP content analysis into the FAST indexing engine. So FAST already searches content for you. When you're looking for a document in your SharePoint site, it's already created it's already extracted the text from the content, it's already created an index, and it allows you to run queries against that. What we've done is added another operator specifically for classification of sensitive types right into that pipeline. So again, we're getting the efficiency and the performance of an existing pipeline that knows how to handle a very scalable and robust set of content, and we're injecting our specific DLP knowledge and classification knowledge into that pipeline and leveraging that for the benefit of all possible queries. So this means that as soon as we turn on DLP for a particular tenant, they actually can use all of the classifications in any of their searches that their admin allows. This is extremely powerful and a very robust kind of design pattern of how we've integrated this.
And earlier in the year, we actually launched a new capability around document fingerprinting, which basically also allows you to create your own sensitive content, in a way, from common templates and forms. A lot of our users are still not aware of where can they use the feature itself, like document fingerprinting, and how does it work behind the scenes? How do we do that, and how do we detect that content? And also, where can I apply or use the same feature?
Great questions. That's a lot of questions. I'm going to break it apart a little bit. So document fingerprinting. So when I talked about how we detect content at first, we talked about regexes, we talked about evidence and proximity and keywords. As you dive deeper into content analysis, document fingerprinting is kind of the next set of technologies to use. And the idea here is that I can take a piece of document, or I can take an entire document, whichever way I want to do it, take a fingerprint of that, meaning create some sort of hash or some sort of set of hashes of that, and then be able to compare that to any portion or other whole document. So I'm doing comparison without having to design regexes or to look for specific words. This is really powerful when I'm looking at things that are very form-based. That's where it lends itself the most capability. So for instance, if I'm looking for tax documents, most tax documents around the world, no matter what country you're in, have some sort of format. And it's pretty standardized. It evolves, so you can have new fingerprints, but at the end of the day, any one year, you hopefully only have to worry about a certain set of forms and documents. So from a tax document perspective, you can say, I will take a fingerprint of this form and then compare it to all actual other content, and anything that matches means that it's probably a tax document that's filled in that I basically want to take some action with. Now, tax documents might be interested if you're a bank or financial institution, but what if you're a manufacturer? Well, you might have an internal spec form or internal patent form. You might not want your patents leaving your organization. So if you took that empty patent form and created a fingerprint from that, then anytime we detect a filled-in patent, either in email or in a SharePoint library, we would be able to take an action on that and either prevent that from going out or encrypt it or do the right action. At the very least, audit it and let you know what's happening. So that's how it works.
Yeah, and we'll talk a lot about that in our demo as well, because we'll look at how document fingerprinting can be combined with policy tips for the end users. But let's talk about the configuration. How did we set it up in first place? So, and how is it really detecting the content?
Right. So, as I'm configuring this, I'm in the admin console, and I create a new sensitive type under the manage fingerprints, and we'll show you this in the demo as well, where I'm taking the form, I upload it into the system. The system will then create a fingerprint for me and allow me to use that fingerprint in any other message contained sensitive type predicate in the system. And this allows me to really integrate fingerprinting innately into DLP. It's treated just like any other sensitive type. So there's no, you don't have to do something special just for fingerprints once it's considered a sensitive type. You can then take all of the standard actions and all of the standard rules and policies will apply to that.
And then at runtime, we somehow compare that with the fingerprint that was generated at the time of origin.
That's right. So we make that comparison. If we get a hit, it's just like finding a credit card number. We happen to find a filled-in fingerprint or filled-in piece of content that matches the fingerprint.
Let's actually take a look at how that works. Let's run through the demo. And in this demo, we'll talk about how the policy has been set up using the fingerprint, and then how does that look like for the end users when we combine that with the policy tips. So let's walk that through.
All right, so I'm looking at my administrator's page. We're in the DLP. You can see that the second link says Manage Document Fingerprints, and I'm going to click on that. It's very simple. I'm going to add a new fingerprint. I'm going to call it my medical form, and my description would have gone in here, and I add a document. So here's my Contoso medical form. That it's telling me the document is being uploaded, and again, I can add more than one form. Maybe I'm looking for multiple fingerprints, and I can save this.
So three clicks and done. That's all that takes.
Three clicks and done, and my medical form is now a new sensitive type. You can see that I already had some document fingerprints here as patent and W-2, and let's use that patent form.
Yeah.
So if I look at my policies, and I'm going to look at my commercial compliance policy here. And looking at my rules, you can see that I have a rule here that says sent to scope outside the organization, and we're going to open it up. Let's zoom in. All right, so this rule says basically if the recipient is located outside the organization and the message contains sensitive information, and you can see that the choice here is patent, which is that fingerprint.
Right.
In this case, I'm going to encrypt the message, I'm going to notify with a blocking but overridable policy tip, as well as generate an incident management report, which we'll see those later.
Can we click on that patent? There's one thing.
Sure.
That I think it might be worthwhile calling out is if you click on that plus and try to add any other new sensitive information type, you would notice that all the publishers are Microsoft Corporation.
That's
if
right.
You come down to patent, that's the one that will have Contoso play because that's something that's created by the end users.
That's
or
right.
The administrators.
So in this case, you saw that I just created a medical form. It's already showing up in my sensitive types, sensitive information types, and you can see that the publisher is Contoso Play, and this is meant to inform the administrator that the fact is that these can be published by third parties or themselves and added into the system for use in their policies.
That's great, and the same is happening for patent too. So now that we have this policy, how does the experiences for the end user? Are they going to see a similar policy tip?
Yes. So let's take a look at how the end user plays with or interacts with these forms and these fingerprints, and we'll use Outlook again. So I have Outlook here, and I've created a patent information. You can see that the patent document is in here, and I'm going to send this one to Alex Darrow. And what's happening here is you saw how quickly it figured out that, hey, you know what? This particular piece of content should not be sent out. And if I hover over policy tip, you can see that the sensitive type here, and we'll see if we can zoom in. Yep. The sensitive type, the sensitive information that it found is patent. Whereas in our earlier end user demos, we showed credit card. In this case, we actually recognize this because this one matched the patent fingerprint. So we're going to block the end user, but allow override. So again,
and that's really powerful because I can create my own forms. For example, if I'm working in a bank, I can say this is a bank form or this is a W-2 form and so on. So it really gives that end user that same perspective and that education that this is sensitive.
That's right. That customization is completely adjustable for that particular tenant and their specific business. So some businesses will care about finances, some businesses will care about manufacturing, some businesses will do IP, et cetera, or health forms.
That's great. And that's a great segue to our next segment where we're going to talk about the customization and reporting. What capabilities are available out of the box? What more can you do with DLP? What can you customize? And we'll look at that in the greater details in our next section. So join us shortly for that.